This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, friends.
Hi, friends.
How are you all doing this evening? We are glad you joined us. Miss Tiff, how are you tonight?
Oh, we are just hanging in there. We're talking about my blonde hair right now, and we're being silly and have a country accent. So
we've been talking in our country accents.
Yes.
One of these days we may do a whole podcast like that.
That would be fun. Y'all let us know if you want us to do that now, you hear?
That would be pretty funny, but it would need to be a more of a lighter topic.
I could totally do it too. I have literally led prayer like that before. Like, I could do it. But anyway.
And the logic behind leading prayer with a country accent was?
Well, I was at a group and I was talking like this for a long time. So I just didn't break character. When it was time to pray, I just said, "Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name."
Amen. When I hear that like that, I think of dear sweet 6 pound, five
Eight
ounce
pound,
baby or whatever it is.
Ounce, baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Yeah. Came from heaven above. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So I could totally do it, even if it was serious, because I really like poofy dresses and always wanted to be a Southern belle. So I could do it. I declare a thumb.
I declare. Well, and you know what? I come by my country accent very honest in that. So I'm from Southeastern Kentucky. However, when I started college, my first declared major, you notice I say first because there were many, not many, but I changed around. Most people do. But I declared right in my freshman year, radio, television, film major. And one of my professors said, if you really want to make it in radio, you must lose the accent. And I was like, well, how do I do that? And it was just slowing down my speech and enunciating everything. I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it to where you can't really tell that. I mean, every now and then it kind of bleeds out a little, but you can't really tell that I am from Southeastern Kentucky unless I let my voice kind of relax a little bit. And then it's just super easy. So, But that's why I don't have it, is I worked really, really hard, had a radio show for a very short time. It's called Breakaway. I had a lot of fun with that. Went on some press passes. In fact, when I got married, we were given press passes to Atlanta Fest down in Atlanta, Georgia, which was a Christian rock festival. And that was our honeymoon, was meeting like Russ Taff and Mylon LeFevre, all these very, they're no longer making a lot of music. Well, Mylon passed just recently, but just meeting all these really great people. So anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would totally be fun. We love getting paid to talk.
Right.
I'm just saying.
I know it's funny how
to talk and get paid for it.
It's funny how God takes things in your life, experiences and stuff that you go through, and you think, okay, that was just a blip on my history. I'm just, I don't know what that was about. And until God brings it around to something else and you go, I see what you did there, God. I see you, God. I see you.
Amen.
And it's like, oh, that's really cool. So, I mean, I've heard that kind of quaint little phrase, oh, God doesn't waste anything. And I've heard that said so many times, but it's absolutely the truth.
It's so the truth.
And it's funny how it pops up. I mean, I'm sure you've had the exact same thing. Like, oh, okay, I see you, God.
Right. Yes. Yes. So speaking of, is transformation is our topic this evening. And that is just what Jen was talking about. Transformation, right? So
to speak on that anyway.
Yeah.
The language.
Yes. So I actually pray a lot of times for God to come and, you know, touch you all and open up your hearts and transform your lives. That's a big prayer that I pray a lot of times for you, because I know that's what God has done in my life and Jen's life. And so as we were praying today, I just thought that our topic should be transformation and what that actually looks like. And as we were just talking about, one of the things God has transformed in Jen and I's, both of our lives, is we used to be told to shut up all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, stop talking,
stop
Tiffany.
Talking so much.
Yeah.
Can you go sit in the other room?
Can
we play the quiet game?
Yes. Yeah. So, and now it seems like people want to hear us talk. And we have a podcast, and Jen and I have wrote a book about our lives, and we have done speaking engagements. So it's just so cool how God really can transform something. Honestly, that was always in Jen and I, like, right? Like, he put that inside of us at the very beginning in our mother's womb. We have the gift of gab. Other people didn't like it, so we shift it and we changed, and in some circumstances lost our voice in a way, right?
Became smaller.
Became a lot smaller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's been
then,
a big, big struggle for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then God came in and he used all that and he brought his transformation and he brought that healing. And here we are today using our voices again in a big way, in a vulnerable way, in a way that allows other people know that it's okay to talk about really hard things and it's okay to let out the skeletons in your closet, and it's okay to be bold and say these things, because it gives other people permission. Like, really, honestly, it gives other people permission to open up and say these things too. It's just a beautiful way God has used that one thing and transformed in a big way in Jen and my life.
Yeah.
What about some other things, Jen?
Gosh, you know, I was thinking about that, in that I've had so many reinventions of my life, like, of experiences, especially work experiences. And I've always said how God is the God of reinvention and how he remade people over and over and over again. And those are like series of transformations. But the biggest one, I think, for me that was the most impactful transformational wise. And it wasn't overnight. It was certainly something that was a gradual thing.
Yeah.
Was learning how to deal with my emotions in a way that I let people off the hook. Because before, when I was dealing, you know, I hadn't dealt with my trauma and I had all the things. And so my emotions were, you know, I'm already a super feeler anyway, but you add trauma on top of that. And it's like, no emotional regulation, no filter for how I process my emotions. And I would tend to project those onto other people and would assume that they were doing X, Y, and Z. And I, you know, every now and then that'll rear up its ugly head.
Right.
But I used to live in that. And slowly God had transformed that with me to, like, just realize, like, it, you know, it's not all about me, how people act or the things that they do. And I have to believe the best about people before I believe the worst. Like, they're doing the best they can. They may not know you feel like you feel, or whatever it is. And that was like turning the Titanic, but I do much better at it now.
Yeah.
But that was a real handicap for me in the beginning of just my Christian walk, like,
yeah,
in a huge way. So I literally got transformed in that. And then I was able to look at that and go, oh, well, this is a really good, like, my emotions are a good thing. And yeah, it was just a very, it was a freeing thing. It was a healing thing. It was the most phenomenal thing ever to be able to feel and know that it was okay, and to think the best about people and to not always think it was about me. Like I said, I still have my moments. Like it will occasionally rear its ugly head and I'm quicker to turn around from it. But yeah, it wasn't always the case. So
yeah, I like how you said that. It was like turning around the Titanic, because you know, sometimes God can do it. Let me just start with that. God is amazing.
Amen.
And he can do whatever he wants to do. He can heal you in a second, or he can heal you, which is most likely, at least in my life, over time, right? And like a slow journey through your healing, which in most of, I've had amazing miracles. I've experienced miracles for myself. I've seen miracles. But most of the time when you walk on a healing journey with Lord, you do just that. You walk on a healing journey. And it is hard. And it is like turning that Titanic around slowly. And it's hard because these things, your feelings, for me, my pleaser tendencies of how I was trying to get attention by pleasing others, they were in me for a long time, right? Like since I was a little girl, I'm screaming out, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do whatever the room needs because I just want to be seen and I just want to be loved. And I will be whatever you need me to be so I can be loved in that way. Yeah. So I was a big pleaser, and so much so that most of my adult life, I didn't even know who I was, nor did I not know who I was. I didn't know I didn't know who I was because I was just that for so long that that felt completely natural. So when I was met with the maker himself, when I met him and had a moment with him, not like meeting him face to face, I didn't go to heaven or anything like that. Let's back up a little.
Thank God.
But when I had a moment, an encounter with the Lord, and it became apparent that I needed to heal from being a pleaser, like my whole world was like shook.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize how far down and how hard it was to turn that big ship around because I had been doing it so long. So the Lord and I started with a healing journey. We just started with boundaries. I had to start with boundaries and saying no. And for a pleaser, saying no is the hardest stinking thing because you want if you're a pleaser, you want everyone to be happy and you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, right?
Right.
So I had to learn how to say no, and it was very painful because wonder if those people didn't like me because I said no. That's the worst case scenario for a pleaser. Worst case.
Yeah. You get your value out of pleasing people, right?
Right. And now, I mean, God is so stinking good. This did not happen overnight, and I'm still learning boundaries, but about 3 solid years of boundaries, I've come a long way. And now I come to the table in my vulnerable, hot mess of a self, and I will continue to say that because it's important. Like, you're allowed to judge me now. Like, that's your God-given free will choice, and you're allowed to like me or not like me. Again, your free will choice, not you, Jen, but just in general, everyone. I'm staring intently at you. You know, like,
I represent everybody right now, Tiff.
Right. Like me or not, here I am. In myself, here I am, just as Tiffany, just as me. And it's so beautiful and it's so freeing. And maybe someone doesn't like me, but I like me. And that is
That's epic.
Holy moly,
That's
powerful.
epic. Like
Yes.
I would challenge anybody out there, if you can't sincerely say you like yourself, that's a really great place to start to asking why.
Yeah.
And to keep digging down into what makes you not like yourself. Is it because of trauma? Is it been because of abuse? Has it been unhealthy relationships? Like, what are those things that have not allowed you to accept yourself and
Yeah.
like yourself? Like,
Yeah.
I mean, and it can be hard. The whole time we're talking, I'm just reminded of a saying that I kept on a index card, and I kept it in my journal, and I read it all the time. And it says, don't think because something is difficult that it is impossible. So a task may seem huge. It may seem like I don't see how it can be done. That doesn't make it impossible. Might make it difficult, sure, but
Right.
difficult does not equate to impossible. So I
Right.
just want to encourage you guys out there that if there is an area in your life where you're really wanting to see transformation and you don't see how it can happen first, invite God, invite the Holy Spirit into that, and realize that God can do anything. And just because something may appear to be hard, nothing's hard for God, one, but just because it appears difficult doesn't make it impossible.
Right. And that's why Jen and I preach over and over and over about the just take a next step, because it tends to be one of those things that when something seems so difficult and so hard, we just don't do it all together because it's too much, right?
It's too much. That's
So
right.
if we break it down and we just look at what the next step in front of us is, it makes it a whole lot easier.
It does.
So
It does.
that ship, Titanic ship, although it's slow to turn around, it turns around one turn at a time, one.
One inch at a time. I'm really reminded of too of like, so I had a shoulder injury. Well, not shoulder injury. I had a tumor on my neck that was pushing down on a bundle of nerves called the brachial plexus. And I had it removed May of 2020, May 20th, 2020, to be more specific. And I woke up paralyzed, and then it took about 24 hours for me to gain my mobility, but I didn't have any of my strength. And the nerve doctor said to me, nerves regenerate a millimeter a month. So when you think about that, a millimeter a month. So he's like, you're in for a very long road of recovery. And there were moments going through that it felt like it was too slow. It felt impossible. I would cry. I would get just, ugh. And now it's almost completely healed. It's going on 4 years, mind you, but it has continued to move forward. But it's been a millimeter at a time. Like, it's going forward. It's not, I'm not stuck in that. So I'm glad he told me it would take a long time in some ways, because that was what I always went back to when I would start to really super lose hope. Like, oh, this feels impossible. It's not getting healed quick enough. It was just the reminder of it's going to be slow.
Yeah.
And that, but it, transformation is not always like that. Like you said, some people get transformed, God heals immediate, and it's a
Right.
beautiful thing, and how glorious that is. The majority of people, though, they have slower transformations, and
And it's all good, and
it's
it's
all
all God.
good. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I know that. Struggling with PTSD for years, I mean years, and I was chasing and going to therapy and doing all the things. But when that healing came, it seemed suddenly, I think to everyone else, it
Oh,
seemed so
yeah.
quick. But it was like, no, you don't understand. This moment was something that was coming for years.
Long time in the works.
Right, like this was not my first ask, friends.
When I lost 50 pounds at one point in my life, I was working for a law firm. I was a systems manager at that point, and I was losing the weight and I was working super hard at it. And I changed the way I was eating. I was running, I was doing all things, but I hadn't bought any new clothes. So what I was doing is I was pinning my clothes and doing all the stuff. And the first time I bought like clothes that fit is when everyone noticed I had lost weight. Now it had been over the course of months and months. Like it was a, I didn't lose it super fast. I mean, it literally just, took a while. And to your point, it was like all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, like you've lost weight. Like, how did that happen? And it's like, well, I've been really working on this for some time now. Like for them, it was all of a sudden, but for me, it was just steady. It was consistency. It was still continuing to work on it. So I need that
Right.
reminder now, by the way. So
Hey,
when it
don't
comes.
we all?
Yeah.
It's like turning that dang Titanic around.
Long Titanic. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so people may have not noticed your subtle changes, your things that you were doing to work on it, but you knew, right? And it's funny how it surprises people, like, oh, she's different. Look at that. She's not reacting or whatever it is that, that was the thing for you that people worked through.
Right. And and pleaser, healing from pleaser, I was definitely met with a lot of resistance, because people were not used to me saying no. So when I did say no, it was hard for a lot of people. And a lot of people did not like that, which made it 10 times harder for someone trying to heal from pleaser that literally everyone was dropping off the planet. Like they were, I am a people person, friend. I am constantly surrounded by a lot of people when I go out, but I couldn't find those people anywhere during those beginning stages because I wasn't that Tiffany that they were used to, the one that would conform and change and be what they needed to be. I was being what I needed to be, and I was becoming me. And they, not everyone liked that. And there's some people that I dearly miss who are no longer my friends. And it makes me so sad. And I grieve them and I think of them and I'm still working on healing my heart, but I had to become and find out who I was. And be okay with that and stop worrying about everyone else.
Yeah, you had to get healthy for you, right?
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
had to be you. I mean, that's like people that are alcoholics, that it's like the age-old tale that when an alcoholic really admits that's what they are and they get help and they start to change, they lose relationships. Some cases they lose family. And you would think that would be the opposite, right? But people got so used to them being what they were that they didn't know how to deal with them healthy. Not that they didn't want them healthy, it's just the relationship was just, it was changed. So, but the alcoholic needs to get healthy. Like they can't not change to make it okay for the other person because that will just destroy them. But at the same time, the other person is like, who are you? And so they're faced with, do I change or does this relationship end? So it sounds like in your case, the relationships ended.
Yes, some of them did, and it was really hard. It was just
Yeah, I'm sorry
another,
about that.
yeah, it was just another like thing of, but healing from pleaser. It was just another like, do I go back now? Do I, because this hurts so freaking bad, right? Like this hurts so bad. This person I loved and was deeply connected with, do I stop what I'm doing? It makes you question everything. Like, am I wrong? I'm supposed to love my neighbor. I'm supposed to do all these things. This is what old ways will tell you in your head, friends. That's why it's so hard to turn around the ship. That's what will happen inside of your head. Like, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem loving. They need me to be this way. So why can't I just do that? Why can't I love my neighbor like that? Would Jesus do that? You know, like these are things that go through your head and they sound good, right? Like that all sounded very Christianese and very sweet.
Yeah.
It sounded like all the right thing to do. And so that's why sometimes we go two steps forward and then go two steps back, because these things sound very convincing, but I wasn't honoring my creator by being his creation, because I didn't know what his or who his creation was, because I was manipulating his creation to fit everyone else's needs.
Ooh, that's and, powerful there.
Yeah.
That's so, powerful. Not honoring your creator by changing his creation, which was you.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so I had to look at who do I love first, right? Like, I love God first. And this sucks. Like, this is hard because I am a lover of people. I love people. And so that was one of the hardest seasons. But I, folks, that's why that boat is hard to turn around. But it's worth it, because to stand in the freedom that I am now and to be completely like open with all of you and vulnerable and complete in who I am and okay with who I am is worth it. Like, I don't care if you're on the other end of this podcast and you're judging me. I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. And that's because me and the Lord did the work. We did the work and we healed. And or well, he didn't heal. He's perfect, but I healed. He healed with me. And it was a beautiful thing. And he's definitely transformed that area of my life. But
I love that.
Boundaries are still, they still are hard.
Oh, my goodness.
They get easier. They get easier.
Oof. Saying no is so hard. Hey, I was proud of myself today. I said no to something that I was like really very proud of myself, because I struggle in that area too of saying no and setting boundaries. But I had an opportunity today to say no to a project, and I was like, yeah, I could do it. A part of me was like, oh, you could figure out how to do that. And it's like, no, I really don't have capacity. And I felt so freeing to just be able to say, no, I really don't have capacity for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And well, I don't even think I apologized, but I just said, yeah, I don't have capacity for that. I just don't think I can do it. And they were like, okay, no problem. I just needed to know where you stood. And I was like, okay.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, look at me go. Growing in the Lord.
Saying no.
I'm shaking my head. I'm bobbing back and forth.
The hardest thing about saying no sometimes is the FOMO, right? Like, we're always afraid we're going to miss out, the fear of missing out. So once you get past that and realize you're not actually missing out and you're just freer, it gets a lot easier. So
Well,
life will go on without you at that party or that event or that group. It will go on.
But God always has a better thing. So you can either settle for the thing you're afraid that you're going to miss out on, or you can have this other thing that God has for you.
Amen.
You get to make that choice. Are you going to go with the thing that you're just afraid to be without? Or are you going to go
take the red pill, or do you want to take the blue pill?
Was kind of like the Matrix, wasn't it? Me holding out my hand.
I know. If you all could have seen her, I had to interrupt her and say, okay, here's your choice. The red pill or the blue pill.
I can't remember which one it was that Morpheus was offering to Neo. Yeah.
I think the red was all in.
Or going back to your life and things will just continue on as they are.
Ooh. Right. And that's a word. That's a word to end on right there. Because, man, we could have just turned that ship right back around.
And you guys
we could have just went around and been a pleaser again.
If you guys are wondering what that was from The Matrix, the movie The Matrix.
They totally know.
I don't know. I said that to somebody the other day, and they were like, "What's the Matrix?" And I'm like, "What's the Matrix?
You know, they
Really?"
used it in the Barbie movie, the new Barbie movie. They had a reference, and she held up like a high heel or like one of those sandals. I can't remember the sandal. She was like, "Here's your choice. You can go back to Barbie land and you could take this high heel and you can just go back and forget all of this, or you can take this sandal
Oh,
and you
that's
can go."
funny.
And Barbie was like, "I picked the high heel." And she was like, "No,
You need to pick the
you
sandal.
have to take the sandal. You actually don't have a choice."
That's so funny. Oh, I have to watch that. Look for that. That's funny. Oh my goodness. Oh, this has been fun. This has been
This was
good.
good.
Yeah. So, if you guys have any questions for us, comments, we love to receive those. Our email is always in the description, as is the links for our books. So, if you are interested in purchasing From Stilettos to Grace or A Beautiful Healing, they are there. Take you right to Amazon, easy peasy. And we would appreciate it. And I would also say, if you have bought our books or read our books, please provide a review. You do not realize how helpful reviews are for an author. For you, it's just like, a few minutes of your time to put your opinion out there. But for us, it opens the door for us to do advertising and just get different ratings and things like that. It just really helps an author. So I would encourage you to do that.
Thank you. Thank you in advance. That was
Yes,
good.
that's
I didn't
right.
even think of that. Good job,
Yeah.
Jen.
Yeah. Gladly. Because I look to see how many reviews I get all the time on different books of mine. And it does certainly help. It just allows for a lot of things for an author. So reviews are a very good thing. So yeah, please put a review if you haven't. I beg of you, an honest review anyway, because all reviews are good, no matter if you think they're bad. So
Awesome.
anyway, all right, folks, until next time.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2024, Parable Road, LLC.